Welcome to Wellness Renaissance and Gluten-Free and Other Special Diets podcast, supporting you on your unique journey to finding your best health. Hello, this is Judy B. Thank you for taking your time to listen. This is the second podcast in a series with Megan Brenny. Megan is our guest interviewer. She is a student at UMD in the Public Health Education and Promotion major, and this series is a part of her senior project. So this is the first interview in a total of four practitioners. Megan is talking to Dr. Stout of Stout Chiropractic and Acupuncture here in Duluth. This conversation is an opportunity for Megan and you as well to learn more about Dr. Stout, her modalities, her philosophies, and her inspirations. I will share Dr. Stout's contact information after the interview. Let's dive right in.
I'm here with Dr. Stout, and she is a chiropractor, and she will explain a little bit of what she does in her realm of specialties.
And my specialty, my degree is in chiropractic, so I do a lot of structural work, including extremity work with knees, shoulders, hips, jaws, etc., as far as manipulation and alignment. In addition to my structural work, I use therapeutic nutrition as one of my main tools in my practice. I also utilize acupuncture. I do needle acupuncture. I do a lot of exercise and weight loss programs. I do fit people for custom-made foot orthotics.
That sounds like a very large umbrella of things. Do you want to explain a little bit about your nutrition that you talked about? That was after the chiropractor.
Sure. The therapeutic nutrition I do, some people come in that have specific needs as far as organic conditions, such as autoimmune disorders like multiple sclerosis or lupus. And those kinds of conditions can benefit tremendously from, first of all, one of the things I do quite a bit is I look at food sensitivities or food allergies. So I do some screening for food sensitivities on these people. All of my autoimmune patients, I would do that, in addition to many of my other patients. If they show an interest and they want to look at that, we go and take a look at food sensitivities. And they actually bring foods into the office and we do some testing. And what I use for testing, I use a technique called kinesiology, applied kinesiology. So we don't require any blood work. We don't require any poking or anything like that. It's just a matter of doing the kinesiology and testing each substance for the patient. So we can come up with certain food sensitivities that we might want to eliminate from the diet that might be causing quite an array of symptoms, including, you know, fatigue, which is a real common complaint, joint pain, lack of concentration, all kinds of hormonal problems that women have can be aggravated by foods that they're eating. So I believe that the nutrition is a really basic way of approaching health across the board. And some of my patients are interested in doing supplementation. So I work with a company that I believe is absolutely outstanding. They've been around for many, many years. I've used them for 25 years now. And I can rely on the quality of the products. They have many, many specialty products. So if I tell them I have a Crohn's patient, they can recommend A, B, C, D for that patient with Crohn's. Specific supplements to address the colon or the intestinal lining or whatever it is that we need to heal.
Wow, that sounds wonderful, just combining all of the different aspects of the health. So do you have like an example that could go along with the sensitivity, like a gluten sensitivity? What would you do specifically, just to give a general realm of something so people can understand?
Well, once you identify the foods that are really a problem, okay. I had a patient with migraines in here this afternoon. I'll give you an example. He's had a history of migraine headaches, real bad ones. He has 2 to 4 a week, which is a lot. Well, he just told me that he has two peanut butter sandwiches every day at work. And peanuts are high on the list of allergenic foods. So what I asked him to do is the next time I see him to bring in a sample of his peanut butter, and we're going to do some testing. My strong suspicion is that because of his overexposure to this peanut butter, that he's going to test positive. So what I will do then is encourage him to eliminate it from his diet. And what we would do is watch him for the next few weeks, see what kind of issues go away or what things might, you know, initially people get a little bit uncomfortable and don't feel too, it's like a withdrawal thing they go through for a couple of days. But eventually what we might find out is that he doesn't have the migraines he's been having. So then we can draw a strong correlation there between the food and the headaches. That would be an example.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for clarifying that for us. So why do you believe in what you do, the chiropractic and the therapeutic nutrition, and what really kind of made you go down this path and change instead of going with just typical Western medicine?
I had a life-changing experience in Portland, Oregon, when I was 27 years old. And what happened was I was working in a hospital as a medical technologist in Portland, and I had a very bad tendonitis in my right arm. I played a lot of racquetball, I play a lot of tennis, I do a lot of sports, and so my right arm was kind of shot. I went to a couple medical appointments, and they gave me no hope and said, you're just going to have to live with it. And that was pretty discouraging to me. And so I was complaining one day at the hospital that I worked at to a gal that sat next to me, and she happened to be married to a chiropractor. So she said, well, have you thought about chiropractic? And I laughed at her. I really laughed at her. I thought, no, they're for old people with bad backs. So anyway, on my drive home that evening, I thought to myself, what do I have to lose by trying this? Because she said, I'm sure my husband could take a look at your arm. And so to make a long story short, I'd say that I couldn't even lift a half gallon of milk when we started on the treatments. And he worked with me weekly for about 3 months. 2.5, 3 months, because my arm and my neck were really a mess. And at the end of that time, I was about 95% taken care of. Wow. I don't know if I should use the word healed, but I mean I got 95% of my arm back. So I was very encouraged. And also, I decided that I didn't want to look at sputum and urine for the rest of my life, even though I had a good job and I had good benefits. I was at a point where I thought, I don't know if I want to do this for 30, 40 more years.
The enjoyment became in chiropractic care instead of...
Well, I looked at the factor that I could work with people, with patients, instead of with specimens, which appeals always, to me more.
Yes, that always is a major appeal. Yeah. So kind of to go along with that, so was that the main turning point that made you want to go into this field? Or was that main
point? That was the main turning point. It was a combination of things. First of all, I was at a point in my life where I was a little bit more mature, and I was realizing that the career that I was in wasn't going to be satisfying for 30 years. It seemed like, I mean, I was in healthcare already. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of on the other side of the fence.
Right.
And so what I did was I looked into the college. They had a college there in Portland, a chiropractic college called Western States. And when I looked at the curriculum, I had all of the prerequisites except for one credit I was missing. Oh, so wow. With my medical technology bachelor's degree, I could step right into chiropractic, where most people it takes at least 2 years to get those prerequisites. So that was another thing that encouraged me to go that direction.
It was almost like it was destined.
Yes.
Stepping stones were there.
Yes, already. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. That sounds like a great experience for getting into chiropractic school instead yes. of having to add those extra 2 years. Kind of more along the lines of your supporting roles in your practice, how come you chose those over just sticking with just traditional chiropractic care?
You know, some of it was just the fact that I'm a very curious person, and what my education introduced me to a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And we pursued them to a certain extent, but on more of a superficial level, I'd say. But then I did more postgraduate seminars. I got involved with a nutritional company that did ongoing seminars that were just really fantastic on education. And I started to just kind of delve into these different options. And then, you know, as far as the acupuncture, I had that as a patient myself.
Okay.
Which was very interesting for this, actually for the same tendonitis, which I was having a lot of problems with at one point when I was in St. Paul. And so I went to somebody that did acupuncture, and that was the thing that really turned my condition around. I had been doing some other therapies and some other adjustments, and everything helped a little bit. But when I added in the acupuncture, it really made a huge difference.
Wow.
So that was very encouraging.
Seems like you had two like light bulbs that went off with the care for your tendonitis when you were in Portland, and then the acupuncture that just really kind of led you down this path.
Mm-hmm.
So going into your training now, what was your training like for being a chiropractic? Did you have to go through extra hours for practicing? How did the acupuncturing go and the therapeutic nutrition?
Well, actually, the education we have in our first few years of chiropractic is very much science-based.
Okay.
So hours and hours of anatomy and physiology, hours and hours of that, and neuroanatomy and neurophysiology. My first year, the quarters I had, I carried 24 credits a quarter.
Wow.
And I was in tears every night because I thought I would never, never be able to get through all the material. I was working Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which is when all my classmates were doing their studying. So I was in the hospital on weekends because I had to work. I was committed to this job. So it was a very intense program. There was no more intro to soc or intro to psych. None of that stuff. It was all real heavy, heavy stuff. Yeah. All kinds of sciences. You know, we had embryology, we had microbiology, everything. In fact, I helped teach our laboratory class because I was a medical technologist, so I was teaching blood drawing to my fellow students, which was an interesting experience.
Would you say having that background previously with your bachelor's degree really helped you a lot
Yes.
more just because you had that base of knowledge and you were already using it?
It helped because I was not intimidated with medical literature or with communicating with doctors. It has helped me through my whole career because I understand blood work, I understand mm-hmm. laboratory results, and so I can interpret the results myself and I can communicate with other people in medicine without feeling really intimidated because I have an understanding.
Yeah, and so just hearing medical jargon, you actually have that communication level open with them.
Yes.
Has to be wonderful. So then what kind of training did you have to go through to become an acupuncturist?
Now, the interesting thing about the acupuncture is in the state of Oregon, where I got my doctorate in chiropractic, mm-hmm. we're not allowed to do acupuncture. That may have changed, but at the time that I was there, so I didn't get exposed to acupuncture till I moved back to Minnesota.
Okay.
And I wanted to practice in Minnesota, and the chiropractor that I first became associated with, and I was an associate in their program, they had 10 doctors, I was the only female.
Wow.
And yeah, and the doctor who had the clinic said that all of you need to have acupuncture background. You all need to be able to cover for one another's patients so that you all need to have, and he was an instructor at the college in the Twin Cities. He was an instructor in acupuncture. So he was very, very knowledgeable, but he wanted all of his doctors and associates to be able to do acupuncture. And I resented it at the time because it cost me $1,500 to take the course.
Wow.
And we used to drive from Forest Lake, which is where I was working at the time, all the way down to Bloomington.
That's a drive.
Yes, every Wednesday. And then we had to go down there on the weekends, too, and to get our hours. So it mm-hmm. took me about 9 months. It was a little over 100 hours to get that course and actually get accredited in acupuncture. So I didn't learn it until I came to Minnesota.
Okay.
And here we can do acupuncture. Now, if I go over to Superior, if I go to Wisconsin, we can't do it in Wisconsin.
Wow. Like as a join or just on its own?
If you have a degree, if you have your education as an acupuncturist and you've gone for a 4-year program, you can do acupuncture. But okay. as a chiropractor, which is how I'm doing acupuncture in Minnesota, I'm mm-hmm. allowed to. In Wisconsin, as a chiropractor, you're not allowed to do it. Every state has their own regulations and restrictions. Only 15 states that permit chiropractors to do acupuncture.
Oh, wow.
So the majority of them do not. So I
Would
just
you say that Minnesota is a front runner in that aspect of allowing chiropractors to add acupuncture? Or
I wouldn't say that. I don't know how many years it's been allowed or approved here. I think it's not allowed in California of all states. I mean, some of the more liberal states you'd mm-hmm. think they would have. So it depends on the legislature in each state. Some
right.
legislatures are really opposed to alternative health care and some are more open.
Minnesota, obviously a more open one.
I guess. So I was very fortunate, at least when I was getting into school or into practice, that I could get this training. And
yes, definitely. So with the 100 hours, did you go just through shadows and practice, kind of like how dental hygienists, they have their friends and family come in and you practice cleaning their teeth? Did you do the same with acupuncture?
We did it on one another. I had a group. There was a group of chiropractors that took the course as I did. I don't know. There might have been 10 of us.
Okay.
And so we worked on each other primarily.
Okay. Interesting. So then you guys could receive the care and then also experience giving it.
Yes. Yes.
What do you think works best? The complementary, the holistic, or the combination, or a combination of all three with the traditional? Or do you tend to just favor one side or the other?
I think there's some situations where a combination of traditional and alternative work really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a cancer patient, for example, when they come to you and they've already been diagnosed with cancer, they're already seeing someone and they're getting chemo and radiation, you kind of have to try to fit in with a program that's already been established. So what I do is try to support that person and their health and not interfere what the physician's doing. So
right.
Now if that patient is already an established patient of mine and they get a diagnosis of cancer, then they would have a choice at that point to go to work with alternative things and do the nutrition, chiropractic, and acupuncture, or if they decide they want to do the chemo and radiation. Ultimately, it's their choice.
Right.
Unfortunately, many people are not educated enough. I've also directed people to the Oasis of Hope, it's called, which is in California.
Okay.
It's a facility that you, in the same, similar to Cancer Centers of America.
Okay.
And so what happens is when you meet with the doctors there, they look at your actual type of your diagnosis, what type of cancer you have, and then they say, all right, you're going to respond the best to chemotherapy in addition to a stringent nutritional program, acupuncture, and chiropractic. They'll do a prescription that will embrace both sides of the fence to the patient's benefit, the best that they can come up with. So I definitely promote those facilities that have had experience working, because the problem with getting involved with someone with an aggressive form of cancer is it becomes a situation where you're assuming quite a bit of risk
mm-hmm.
if you're going to take on that patient. And even though I've worked with some patients, I don't have the experience that one of these facilities would have,
right.
Nor do I have the personnel. So I would attempt to, and they do take insurance in a lot of cases, so I would first try to send the patient in that direction, at least to have an evaluation, because these people are pretty amazing. And then and then if they don't feel that the traditional cancer treatment is really going to be a benefit, they might do totally an alternative program. But in many cases, there's a mixture.
Wow, that sounds like a great place.
Yes.
Too bad it's not branded more so people knew more about
it. Yeah, very few people know about it.
Oasis
of Hope, and then Cancer Centers of America, of course, have been advertising on TV for quite a while.
Right, yeah.
So they know more about them.
Well, you mentioned a little bit about insurance covering Oasis of Hope. Do you, for your acupuncture and your chiropractic, do you offer insurance covering for that? Or kind of, if you don't mind talking a little bit about your prices, just because I know that seems to be a large barrier for people, is thinking that alternative medicine is the expensive medicine.
Well, no, I started in chiropractic. I started practicing in 1986, long time ago. And I worked with insurance. I took insurance reimbursement and worked with insurance for all these years up until 5 years ago. So whatever year that was, 2011 or 12 or whatever, when I moved into this facility, I determined that I was going to cut my overhead. I was going to let my billing person go. I was going to let my front office person go. I was going to try to run my own business. And at that time, I switched to an all-cash practice.
Oh.
So my patients do have the option of submitting their charges from here to their insurance. So I have a piece of paper with all of my codes and so forth on it for the insurance. So the patient can take this and they can send it into their insurance. They can talk to them first, and if they are willing to accept that, then they can reimburse the patient as they wish. So some people are getting 60% reimbursement, and some people are getting a little more, and some people are getting zero. It depends on the insurance, but many people do get some reimbursement. Primarily, I'm working on a cash basis.
Did you just find that it was more beneficial for your views on chiropractic care and just like kind of cutting out that middleman of insurance?
Well, what's happened is over the years, Megan, is that the compensation for what I do has gone steadily down, dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped. So now when I determined to stop taking insurance, I was getting in some cases 40% of what I was billing out. So if I billed out $100, I might get $39 from Blue Cross or Medica or whatever. So that'd be like you working for, 30% of your average wage on any other job. It was ludicrous.
Yeah.
And this is what managed care has done to people. And the medical providers have taken a hit too, but they have a much higher salary base to start with. So, they've had some problems on their end, but for alternative people, it's been particularly hard. So now what I can do is I can charge, my average office visit is $55. So I can charge my $55. The patient can come in and have a number of services with me, have the manipulation, have the physiotherapy that I do, and leave. And then they can give me $55 before they leave. And I don't have to wait 6 months to get a check from Medica and then accept $29 for those same services that I got $55 for. So now I get immediate payment. I don't have to give 60% away. I don't have to wait 6 months. There's all kinds of reasons why it's better. Mm-hmm. It does limit your patient potential because the people that I had in Two Harbors for many years were on a lot of these lower income insurance plans.
Right.
So if they're on a medical assistance plan or if they're on UCare, some of these plans, I knew that I was going to lose these patients. Mm-hmm. So I had to basically restructure my practice 5 years ago, and I lost a good percentage of my patients. I had to kind of rebuild from the ground up.
Oh, wow.
So now the people that come to me, number one, think my services are well worth what they're paying, and so they're continuing to come because the benefit outweighs the sacrifice mm-hmm. in that case or is worth the same. And they're not dependent on their insurance for this part of their life, and they still use their insurance for all their medical bills.
Right. I've never heard of the cash-based practice, so that's a very interesting take on it. So I know you mentioned a little bit as we were talking about that, practicing in Two Harbors. Is there any reason why you decided to practice up here or in Two Harbors away from the city or just this is where your
Yes,
home is?
Actually, when I left the Twin Cities and I practiced 16 years in the Twin Cities, I left in 2001, right after the 9/11 situation started in October up here in Two Harbors. I was really tired of the traffic, it's number one.
That would be a pain.
The road rage, yeah, the air pollution, the noise pollution, everything got worse every single year, and I could see that it was going to continue to get worse and worse as the population grows. My practice was right across from 3M. I had a very, very good practice. But I am kind of a country girl at heart, mm-hmm. and so I decided I wanted to be in a smaller area, and I already had a lake property up here that I was going to on the weekends, and I was really tired of the traffic on the weekends. It was just horrendous.
Absolutely terrible.
And I kept seeing the billboard that said, why go back? There's a billboard that says, why go back? And that's exactly what it means, is why are you going back to the mayhem down in the Twin Cities?
So
I reserve my visits to the Twin Cities for when I absolutely have to go down for CEUs or whatever. And whenever I'm coming back this way, I always feel quite a sense of relief.
Enjoy the fresh air
and
the trees.
So economically, I took a hit to come up here for sure. Mm-hmm. It's been economically not near as good, but there's many other benefits that I felt were worth it. So
your own personal benefits of being out in your
happy, I'm an outdoors person.
Yeah.
I'm a recreational person. I love to snowshoe and I love
Perfect
to hike. And
it.
Yep.
Well, is there anything closing that you'd like to say possibly to advocate for holistic medicine and complementary medicine that just to get the education out further?
I believe that what you're doing right now is really important, and that the more that we can do to educate people, the more people that are going to see what an excellent option this is. I think the main thing that keeps people away from my business or anybody else in alternative healthcare is misconceptions and total lack of information or knowledge. I've had many, many people in my practice over the years that maybe they waited 60 years to have their first chiropractic experience, and then they say to me, I really should have done this years ago.
Right.
And so what I see out around here in the community is what I call the walking wounded, is there's so many people that are suffering with problems that could be helped. They're not bad enough to go to their medical doctor. They know they don't need to have something cut out, or they don't need medication, but they're not necessarily healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that alternative health care is way long overdue, and we're slightly coming into our own, but we've got a ways to go. So I think the education is really, yeah, absolutely. And I don't have people that experience what I have to offer that ever say to me when they leave, I wish I'd never done this.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that. Never. People generally say, I should have tried this a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, we've kind of kept our light under a barrel, under a bushel basket for so long. And I think people need to get out in the community and work on education. I think I talk a lot in my practice. I talk a lot to my patients. I tell them what's happening. I want them to be educated. Everybody doesn't do that, but I think it's
nothing's
important.
Nothing's a secret with you.
No.
Get out there and advocate for the different types of medicine and get the education and information out. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Stelt, for taking the time and doing the podcast for us. We really appreciate it and expanding the knowledge on chiropractic care and acupuncturists and all of the different areas that you dabble in.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it.
A huge thank you to Dr. Stout for taking her time and sharing her expertise and experiences. If you're in Duluth, Minnesota, and you would like to connect with Dr. Stout, you can find her downtown Duluth. She is right on Superior Street, right next to the Indian Palace Restaurant, and in the next block from the new Maurice's building, just because those are a few landmarks people are aware of. You can call her at 218-727-0200. Again, that's 218-727-0200. She also has an office on Homestead Road, north of Duluth, towards Two Harbors. And that phone number is 218-525-3100. Again, that's 218-525-3100. She's in the process of changing her website and website address, so when we do get the final go on that, I will put that in the show notes as well. Thank you for listening. You can connect with Wellness Renaissance and myself at wellnessren.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/wellnessren.com. You can check out our podcasts, information on our monthly health, wellness, and food group meetings here in Duluth, as well as other things we've got going on. Check out the next podcast in this series. Megan will be interviewing Gary Anderson from Body Wise Duluth. Thank you so much. Be well.